Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
Welcome to the catch-up. We nearly had another Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull moment this morning when Bill Shorten, the opposition leader, joined us.
He got stuck on a Thunderstruct. See how you go when we play it to you, how close he got to not knowing that. But look, I've realised something. Title and artist of songs is one of the hardest quiz, general knowledge quiz questions you can be asked.
Yeah, people can more often actually sing you a bar or get to the chorus than they can tell you who sung it. And like, I was stuck on Eye of the Tiger. I could not remember for the life of me that it was Survivor.
Mm. Yeah, that's what happened.
Did you notice Bill Shorten? He was looking at his advisor like Steve Smith when he was looking to get the DRS right. He was going, what do you reckon? Mate, there was only one word sung in the song. It was Thunderstruck.
Yep.
What do you think it is? Did you see why I went out to try to bowl to him and he wouldn't bat?
Yeah, because his minder said no.
Because of the John Howard moment in Pakistan a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, also back in my day, the toys edition turned into "How did you hurt your brother with an old toy," which was like funny.
Fun for the whole family.
Good, yeah. There was a lot of pain on the show. We had Jeff Thompson telling us how he used to try to knock the heads off all his teammates as well as opposition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomo was just driving along and decided to tell us a violent story. It was beautiful.
That's plenty in the catch-up. Get ready for the Ashes because we are all over it.
Nice one, Gary.
Now, Marto, you and I and Robin have always been known for our balance. Is that not right? Do you know what I mean? We will give equal time to everybody. And we had the Prime Minister on the other day. And it's only fair that we now welcome the opposition leader, the leader of the opposition, Bill Shorten, into the studio. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, guys. Nice to be here.
Now, you must have heard the other day what happened with when Malcolm came on our show and Marto asked him about Australian music. I'm sure you're across this.
It was an accident.
It does. It did actually penetrate the national media cycle.
Did you see? They brought it up. It was the last thing. We were wrapping up the interview and I just thought, oh, it's AC/DC morning. You know how sometimes you'll go into a radio station and they will deliberately stitch you up or try to.
Yeah, that does happen.
That wasn't one of those occasions. He was being a pleasant man.
We were having a nice time.
Because we have the impersonator, you know, the...
Lawrence.
Don't say his name. Come on, mate.
Malcolm.
She's Malcolm. Yeah,
come on, mate.
He is outstandingly funny.
Yes, he'd be a good Prime Minister, actually, the moon.
No, he wouldn't.
Are you embarrassed that you haven't got an... Have you got an impersonator?
No, I hope not.
Well, that's going to be an industry, though. If you become Prime Minister, then someone is going... Because comedians, we talk about this, someone's going to have to go, right, okay, who's going to become the preeminent Bill Shorten impersonator?
Industry. I guess doesn't keep me up at night, as a matter of fact.
But don't your children do it? Your kids would be good impersonators of their fathers.
They went off their brain. I did this rap on another station I can't mention because it's not in this network, but... I did a rap. They were okay with that. But when I dabbed at the end, they just said the Shorten children can no longer go to school. You have humiliated them beyond words.
It's finally it. Let's hear it. Let's hear the bit with Malcolm the other day, just in case people haven't heard it. This is what went down.
You got a favourite AC/DC song? We've been doing a lot of reflecting this morning.
Well, tell me, give. What's your favourite AC/DC song?
Long Way to the Top for me.
Yeah, Long Way to the Top.
Highway to Hell, glide to sheep, really.
No, I like run through a few more.
Barbie Girl.
Bill.
He should have grabbed the lifeline.
Yeah.
He should have grabbed.
Well, I guess it's hard. If you don't have to know everything, and if you don't know everything,
right,
just die.
Oh.
That's true. It's because it's no harm. We weren't trying to stitch him up. Like, if he doesn't know one, just say, I'm not really a fan. That's fine.
I think he finds it hard to admit that he doesn't know something. So,
is that true? Because there are people that,
you know, if you're sort of master of the universe, you can never be imperfect, can you?
Do you hear that about him all the time? What I always hear, anyone who knows him properly goes, he always has to be the smartest man in every room he's in.
Yeah, I get that impression in the meetings. Yep. Right. Anyway, that's life, you know.
That is life.
And if you are every time, well, then there's no problem with that theory. But when you're not,
Then you get some. Then you
so
can
have
be some
you
trouble.
Ever liked any of the opposition leaders? Like, is there any one of those people that you've stood up against that you'd have
Malcolm's
a beer?
An interesting fellow to talk to. Or to listen to. And I've often thought Tony Abbott, I wouldn't want him in charge of Australia, but as a neighbour, I think he'd be an okay bloke. You know, if a tree branch fell across a fence, if Malcolm was your neighbour, he'd probably sue you. And Tony's your neighbour, he'd get the chainsaw out and help you chop it into firewood.
What a great analogy.
That's not a bad analogy.
And what would you do?
Who'd fix the fence?
I'd sit down with Tony and make him a cup of tea and, you know, we'd talk about stuff. I'd help. Yeah, I'd help.
You just call in a few union officials.
But the chances of me living next door to Malcolm and Neil, so it's a theoretical exercise.
Well, did you miss what Ed just said?
What was that?
You'd call in a few union officials to fix it.
Oh, no, they couldn't fix it now.
Have a meeting about it. So, Bill, we have to do it. We have to do the... it would be remiss of us not to do a Triple M rock music quiz. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear a little bit of...
Ed, did you see, just before you started, did you see what Mr. Shorten... Now, you had a few minutes before you arrived in here. You went out to the back room. We call it the studio, but it's full of all artifacts.
Very flash.
Isn't it? Full ratings of artifacts and old
ratings
records.
Ratings are up.
What were you checking?
I was checking the decor of the room.
You were checking the old AC/DC album for a few songs.
Might have got me for university, a bit of last minute cramming.
Okay, here we go. All we need is title and artist, Mr. Shorten, number one from our rock music quiz.
Barnsey. Where's Last Man?
Maybe I made that one too easy because name of the song was...
We can move on now.
It was in the grab.
Do you want to talk about The Nation or, cost of living?
No. Next one, please. Thunderstruck. Title and artist, please.
Whenever ready.
Title. Oh, no. Title.
Title and artist.
Akadaka and...
What was he singing?
Oh, my God.
Thunderstruck.
On the buzzer. On the buzzer.
I thought it was another name.
That's all he said.
Said Thunderstruck.
Well, you're through to the final round. You're playing for the car. Here we go. You're playing for a BMW with the number plate 1, if you catch my drift. And here we go. It is the title and artist of this track, please. If you need me,
can I come too? Fiddle with anything?
Yes.
Yes. With?
If you leave me, can I come too? Wow.
Do you also like getting romantic with Lucy with that one?
I've never been romantic with Lucy, and she's a very nice lady.
Malcolm said that was his favourite Akadaka song.
Yeah, no, I got that Netflix and chill and all that other stuff he's read about.
All right, well, you passed. Now, we're going to let you go. But, Marto, do you want to buy that thing from the news? Because with the nanny state, you want to talk nanny state quickly.
Can I just check one thing? This is on the news last night. The Ashes are on tomorrow. You're not here for the Ashes?
In Brisbane, no, I'm going home today.
Righto. Can I check this? Is this where we are as a nation? Can I get your read on this? Okay, this is the opening batsman for tomorrow, Cameron Bancroft. Mm-hmm. First test. All right, mm-hmm. So they ask him tomorrow, what are you expecting? How tough is it going to be out there? Listen to his response.
I'm certainly going to, fight my ass off and do my very best for the team.
He said fight my ass off and Channel 9 decided to beep that. Is that where we're at as a nation?
No, I think he's allowed to. I wouldn't have
beeped that. Are you allowed to say ass?
Yeah, you're allowed to say ass.
Oh, good.
Okay.
That's the Australia I want to live in. Right. A shortened based arse is okay Australia. That's what.
Yeah, I'm waiting till I get the hate mail though.
From the arse lobby, the no arse lobby. Bill Shorten.
You took it a bit far there, Ed, but anyway.
Yeah, that's what I do. See you soon.
Hey, I've got one that's right in our hitting zone. Now, Robin, you've got a 17-year-old. When he gets home from schoolie, he'll be living at home.
Yeah,
Ed,
maybe.
You've got how old's Leighton? 19?
Leighton is 19 years old and will never move out of home.
Still living at home with your parents-in-law. Yep. I have an 18-year-old son who's away at the moment, but he'll be straight back as soon as he can. What we have, ladies and gentlemen, is kidults, they call it. Mm-hmm. Kids who should be adults but are still living to home. Let me give you some stats. 31% of 18 to 34-year-olds, 31%, a third of them, still live at home. 50% of 20 to 24-year-olds, I understand that. You right with that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how many. All right. And 30% of those above numbers pay board. 66 do not.
Not in my world.
60. So two-thirds of those kids do not pay board. Only one-third of parents are making their kids pay board to stay at home when they're adults.
My children will be.
Well, not when he comes home from school.
As soon as he gets a job, he will be contributing. I don't care if it's $20, but my job as his parent is to make him a functioning human being that is self-sufficient.
Well, he may never get a job. Now, so you're hoping. My bloke, I didn't make him pay this year because he was saving to go overseas. When he comes back, he will be paying. And your brother-in-law, 19-year-old Ed?
He put it this way. The other day he was going away with his mates. He had the first time he'd ever been away with six of his mates. Mm. And he went upstairs to see my mother-in-law and came back with some money. I said, what was that for? He goes, oh, I have to buy some razors, so I just asked Mum for $10.
Okay,
let's that's leave how far that. Off. That's far off board he is.
I'm not making judgment on that, but I want a ruling from everyone. Wendy and May, what's the story? What's going on in the real world? When do you make them pay it? What age and at what
much?
Stage?
Carolyn of Shayla Park, your daughter.
Hi.
Hello. Does she pay board?
Well, she does. Not happily, but to her first year out of school, first job, she's working at Macca's, and you know. Some weeks, depends what she's earning, but yeah, we charge her 20% of her wage.
Whoa.
20%, you wouldn't get paid too much to work at a Macca's. Is that $350, $400 a week?
Well, it depends, you know, it depends how many hours she has a week. So, I mean, it can range anywhere between, you know, 250 one week to 400 the next. So, yeah, that, you know, so it's not a great deal, but it gives her that sense of I'm paying, I'm contributing. And we do actually use that as forced savings for her.
Oh, good
so,
one.
That's great. That's going to help
that's
her.
That's a good
she
idea.
She will thank you one day, Carolyn.
Yeah, you've got to teach them
I
about
like
money.
That idea, but this forced savings, that's what I'm going to do.
Anita of Birkdale, tell us about paying board.
Oh, hi. When my kids left home, or when they were here, I charged them 20% of their what they earned as well for a while. When they left, when they came back, I charged them... like $100 when they came back again. Yeah. If they did, I doubled it. They didn't. They don't come back now.
Wow.
They're out on their own.
So start 20% and then double it for every time they come
10,
back.
Go to 20.
Yeah. That's great.
Were they boys or girls, Anita?
Boys.
Yeah, I hear that it's more likely boys will come back than girls.
Yeah, when my youngest was 21, I said to him, you got to go. He goes, but why, Mum? I said, because your father and I are fighting about him making your lunch, doing everything for you. I said, you got to go, boy.
See, that's genius.
Yep.
That'll be me.
Yeah, that will be you. You are so much tougher than me.
Brad of Springfield, tell us about boarding.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good.
Our stepdaughter, she's 19 now, but the day she finished high school, she was in the real world, started paying.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's pretty important, and it's not just about board, like phone bills, people buying their kids cars that they don't have to pay for and stuff like that. It just gives them the wrong message, I reckon. It doesn't teach them anything.
Good one.
They don't know how to cope.
And what's the response? So, yeah, what's the response you get?
Absolute shock. The phone bill one came at 15 years old when she had a part-time job.
Yeah.
They've just got to start paying their way, and that was the first part, I think, of like easing them into it. But you know,
has it worked out now? You look back,
you're gonna have these things. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they appreciate what they've got. They know they've got to pay for it,
and they know the value of things.
They know the value. Excellent. Thanks, Brad.
Lovely. Ed, jump in when you're ready to. We just need to keep on the education of Robin about Ben Simmons. Do you remember us talking about him a couple of weeks ago?
He's the basketball.
Put them together.
Yeah, well done.
Good job. Good the guy who's earning a whole lot of money overseas in America.
Our greatest ever basketballer is where Ed and I placed him. That was just as the season started. They're now 16 games in. Philadelphia 76ers are now 9 wins, 7 losses. I think last year they won 10 games out of 82 for the season.
Oh, wow.
He's come in and completely changed them. Did you see that stat the other day, Ed? His jersey, the Philly 76ers, the jerseys in Australian shops are now selling more than Steph Curry and LeBron.
Wow.
I love that.
Gone he's nuts.
Yeah, what, so there's 3 instead of 2?
Oh, God, no. You
no,
should
no,
see.
Kids everywhere.
You go out and have a look at all the young kids.
Really?
They're buying his singlet.
I'm too caught in soccer land. Anyway.
Ben Simmons scored 27 points yesterday, didn't he?
Did extremely well. But, Marto, I understand it's the catering in Philadelphia that you'd like to discuss.
What's the favourite pie at AFL games and especially Southern States?
4 and 20.
4 and 20. Righto. So, therefore, the Phillies are smart. They're going, hold on, let's get on this Aussie bandwagon. This bloke's going nuts. Because they've also, their coach is Australian, isn't it, Brett Brown?
Yes.
So they've got an Australian coach.
Assistant coach? Or
He also coaches our Olympic team. Okay.
Yep.
So he's over there, big Aussie influence. And I figure that he had something to do with this. They now, in amongst all the American food, now you understand American
hot
stadiums.
Dogs. Yeah.
They've now got 4 and 20 pies, front and centre, and people are going. And I don't understand America. I've never been to a sports event there, but they don't have a pie. They don't eat pies.
No, pies. Hot dogs sweet and nachos and chips and that type of thing. Yeah, and various ballparks, particularly in the baseball, have things that they're known for. So they'll have, like, you know, the Houston has a special hot dog, or there'll be a special, you know, taco, or there'll be whatever it is. They all have their own specialty. A lot of New York, I think some of the Yankee Stadium has its own signature snack.
Wait, what, Matthew Dellavedova, where he's playing, what are they doing?
Milwaukee. I think they're doing Winnie Blues and a rum and coke.
We'll just have a listen.
Every kid gets one Winnie Blue and a rum and coke.
Have a go at that. That's a start. Yum. Have a listen to the Americans. They have gone nutso for 4 and 20 pies. They've never seen a savory pie before. They get to watch the basketball and they say, "What is this?
This pizza hot dog, that's for sure.
I could eat two of these.
I can't wait to try. I'm going to get one as soon as I'm done my shift here."
That guy was selling donuts, but he desperately wanted a pie.
Well, they do smell good. It's just, do they know how to eat them?
Oh, my God, no. One guy tore it apart as if it was a loaf of bread.
Oh, dear. Did he wear it rather than eat it?
He'll get bad burns on his wrist. and those groin burns that you get.
Smarter than Robin, Brisbane's AAA.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Yeah, back in my day.
Today we're doing toys, aren't we? Today we're doing, you guys have put it both on your Facebook pages, about the toys that you remember and what type of effect they had on your life.
Because God, we had one hell of a response too. Tell you what, totem tennis.
Oh, I remember Christmas holidays. That reminds me of Christmas Day totem tennis.
Yeah. There were so many things. Hold on, I'll go through it. There were action toys. Hula hoops. Didn't you say you had a hula hoop?
No, I was elastics. Hula hoops was a little before my time.
What's a jack?
No, the jacks. Okay, so my mum had the original. Knuckles and jacks were the same thing.
Righto.
Mum had the original knuckles that you played, and then I had the coloured plastic ones.
I had Hot Wheels, Skeletrics.
Oh, Skeletrics, which one?
The one from the 1800s.
One or the
Two
horse and carts going around the track.
That little slot car.
Every year the Ecker would have a toy that everyone would want. So there were click-clacks.
I think my sister had those click-clacks. It used to drive mum insane.
Yeah, pretty much.
And yo-yos.
Yo-yos, the Coca-Cola yo-yo competitions at the Westfield shopping centres on a Saturday morning.
Hang on, let's go through them. There was Fanta, Mellow Yellow, Sprite and Coke. And then I think Diet Coke for a limited amount of time.
Was there a Diet Coke one?
And Rock the Cradle.
Coke one as well, but someone else will tell
me. Remember the one you used to go through your knees and you bring it back
around
occasionally?
The world.
And it'd bite you on the, bite you on the pants.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Sometimes it'd hit you in the ghoulies. Hey, there's Terry. Somebody here said they got an air rifle for Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
A lot of slingshots.
Terry's from the Rangbar. Terry, what is your back in my day toy?
When I was about 10 or 11, we used to have the uncles and aunts and cousins come along at Christmas time, and this particular year I got a set of quoits, those daggy things they have on the cruise ship.
Throw a rope ring around a little spike
knob of timber.
Yeah. That's a little knob of timber, yeah, that's a little way away. Okay, yeah. And what could go wrong there, Terry?
Well, mate, we held the quoits world champions at our house that year.
Of course,
it got hogged by one of the younger members of our family, one of my cousins. As he sort of turned to walk away from giving me a bit of lip, I've just yelled out, "Oi!" And he's looked at me, and I've hit him with a quoit on the corner of the head.
You've coited him.
It's opened him up, and he's ended up at the doctor's, and I've got a flogging.
Yep, I got a flogging. He's at the doctor's, and then for forever and a day, people say, "How'd you get that scar?" And he's had to say, "Coit accident."
Shark.
She's not tough. Well, this is the game. The toy from back in your day. The
bonus if it opened you up, though.
Yeah, exactly. What could possibly have gone wrong with it?
Scott here with us, one of our producers, said that he had Scalectrics kit and incorporating things
together, and they'd put the cat on the track and run into the cat. See, that's excellent. That's what you did with old school tools.
Marty from Morningside. What's the toy for back in your day, Marty?
Hey, guys. Morning to you all. How are you?
Hello, son.
Good, mate.
Mate, Marty, you refer to this Lego. Sunshine? Lego.
Lego, yeah. Now, well, let's keep going. It was it, always around.
It builds you into Lego and makes you into a building career, bud, which we all know quite well.
Well, I had Meccano as well one year. Mum and Dad got me that. Remember Meccano?
Yes.
It was a bit more complex.
So, Marty, did you pass it on? You did Lego when you were a kid. Do you now do it with your kids?
Yeah, we had the bucket.
I've got a big black tub of it, and my son's actually joined it and combined a whole lot of it into one.
So the modern kid is using it. Did your mum hang on to the bucket of Lego and pass it to you, mate?
Yeah, bud. Yeah, and then my son's got Nintendo or those other Lego parts that join onto it.
Yeah.
Combined it all into one big tub.
It is the most enduring toy, I reckon. It really is. Because every new generation, Marta, they just find it and go, yeah, great. Because I remember when I was a kid, it was the medieval stuff. That was their big push.
Yeah, right.
The
little knights and forts.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it for your young bloke, for Arnie. Well, because you're not a parent until you've stood on one in the middle of the night, going to the toilet.
Mark, from Bilberg Park, the back in my day toy of yours.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, what mate. Was it, mate?
Demolition Derby set.
Well, what was that? I don't know what that is.
It's the two cars. You got two ramps, and you pull the trigger, cord up through the middle with the rubber wheel on it,
and
they just run in together and smash, and wherever parts go everywhere, fly in your eyes. And then you get the no safety glasses back then.
No.
Used to rip the cord up with the rubber wheel in the middle, and you go and put the rubber wheel while it's going 100 mile an hour onto your brother's leg, give him a good burn mark.
See, that's adaptation. That's brilliant.
That's funny, mate. You're right. That is a toy, Mark. They could not sell that now. There's no part of that that they could sell now, is there?
No way, yeah. No, yeah, you just... After one go, you'd lose 100 million pieces. You'd never be able to find them again.
Mark, do you remember those guns we used to have? There used to be a little gun with a cap, like they were cap guns. They had, you know, semi-explosives in there. And you used to do that to your brother as well. You'd pile up 20 of them and then just hit him with a hammer right where he was standing.
Yeah. They used to come in a little round as well, and you used to put them in like a six-shooter, 12-shooters.
Yeah.
So, there we go. So,
hold on, one more. John from Zilmere, what was the toy, mate?
Yeah, mate, crossbows and catapults.
Yes, of course.
What do you mean? Crossbows and catapults? What it was,
crossbow and you had a catapult. Each player had one each, and they were sprung by rubber bands, and you used to fling these plastic objects at what was a castle made by blocks. You used to have to try and make sure you were a bit of a distance away so you didn't get each other. But one day we decided to do it a bit close range, and I got my brother right in the eye.
It is amazing that any brothers have survived thus far, because every toy we've heard so far ends with, and then my brother got it in the eye.
Then I got dart in my Achilles heel and that sort of thing while I was chasing my brother.
Oh, that is fantastic. They're not going to be able to have this conversation in 5 years' time. What was the toy you remember? Well, I was playing Minecraft one day and things got out of hand.
Just for everyone, remember yesterday we were talking about people getting hit in the head by various things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people rang and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it was great.
All right, so we went to ads after that, and on the screen was some bloke who just said Tomo. And we started having a talk to Tomo, and he claimed he was Geoff Thompson, the fastest bowler in the history of Test cricket, and we checked his bona fides. And it was indeed our friend Geoff Thompson was driving along and said, oh, mate, I wanted to get involved in that phone topic. Yeah. We went, what's this story? And it was a while into the story by the time we worked out it was Tomo. We said, hold on, we'll record this. So we said, he hit a lot of people in the head, Tomo.
He really did.
He was indeed the fastest bowler ever in the history of Test cricket. In 1975, if anyone remembers it, it was unbelievable, Geoff Thompson. So lives here in Brisbane. So we started talking about, what's the what are some of your best stories hitting people in the head? And it wasn't about hitting an Englishman or a Indian or a West Indian in the head. It was about hitting a fellow Australian player.
No, no, his name was Graham Wood. He played for West Australia.
Yeah,
so Graham I didn't get picked on an Ashes tour. I got him a deal with Kerry Packer at the end of World Series cricket.
Yeah.
So he's won gold lotto. He didn't get nailed for it because it all folded, so nobody knew he'd signed for 6 years. He didn't even ring me up and say thanks. I got the flick because I went to court against Kerry Packer. So here I am, sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. And a county side rang me up and said, Tomo, you're not playing for Australia. Would you like to play for us? And this is true. Nice. All I said to him, I said, when do we play Australia? He said, oh, very early on. I said, I didn't even ask how much money or anything like this for the deal. I said, yeah, I'm there.
You wanted to hit Graham Wood?
All I wanted to do was fix up Graham Wood.
Oh, that's
anyway.
I won't tell the
whole story, but we're sitting there, and I walked up to the dressing room before the start. I'm playing with the Poms, right, this Middlesex county side. We had nine internationals.
Yeah.
I go up to Dennis Lee and Ron Marsh and the manager, and I said, what the hell am I doing playing for these idiots? Yeah. He said, oh, you know what, Tomo, you went to court against the Australian Cricket Board, mate, you have to serve your penance. I said, look, I just want to know that I'm not wasting my time, otherwise I'll finish and get on with my life. He said, oh, no, don't do that.
You'll
mate.
Be back.
The first bait pick. Yeah, you know, the usual rubbish they tell you. We win the toss and bowl. Graham Wood goes out, still hasn't said a word to me about anything. I knocked him out within 6 balls, mate. He hit him right in the helmet. He had a helmet on and everything. He didn't even play a shot. He's laying on the pitch. And all these pommies come running at me, really, because they're all going to play Australia in a week's time. And they got that to Tomo. They hit a few more of these Aussie bastards. And I said, hang on a minute, they're my mates. I said, I'm not bowling again.
you're the best.
Wow, Tomo. Yeah. I'm sure it is. Tomo, Jeff Thompson,
love you,
always
mate.
A pleasure. Call
have
anytime.
Fun, see you, mate.
Tomo. See ya.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, we were talking about Mitchell Pearce yesterday. He's definitely left the Roosters because Cooper Cronk's come and he wants to lead the team around the field. They're saying no closer to a new team, Newcastle, Canberra, Melbourne, Cronulla. Wayne Bennett going, no, we don't want him. So he's got a few after him, all right? But then a few people are going, hold on, why do you, oh, you sook, get out of it. The best one, remember Thursday when he played against him 2015? Queensland won the Origin.
He was yelling at him.
And what did he yell at him? He yelled out, the closest you'll ever get to the Shield is go out and see it in Wally's hands out the front, okay?
Go Thursday.
Not bad. Thursday's let loose again. This is one of the great sledges. I guess he's not playing Origin next year, Thursday, so he can do whatever he wants. This is Thursday talking about Mitchell Pearce's decision not to hang around with Cooper Cronk.
Cooper's a big game player. He's had to get the job done, and I think that's what Mitch has probably lacked over his career, how to close out big games, how to win big games.
All right.
But that's also the truth. That's just the truth. Like, that's... You can slice it any way you want, but that's just the truth.
That's right.
But also, what does he want? Like, does he want to send Mitchell into a spiral where he ends up having a few drinks and banging on the door of the Pound? Saying, let me in.
Mano and Robin, the Triple M.
It's time to talk to our tech expert, Trevor Long, EFTM.com.au, and he joins us live from in the back of a Tesla car that he is driving from. Trev, good morning. Where are you driving this electric Tesla car from and to?
Marto, Ed, Robin, we picked it up on Monday morning in Brisbane and we are driving to Adelaide. We were going to do it in 4 days, but we've decided, do you know what, we're just going to make it today. So we stopped in Albury last night and we should make it to Adelaide tonight.
So why Brisbane? Why did you get it here?
Because the Tesla a couple of weeks ago completed their supercharger network, which is like you know, the petrol station for an electric car, all the way down the East Coast and across to Adelaide. So essentially, we're documenting, I think for the first time, the trip from Brisbane to Adelaide in an electric car using superchargers.
You're like Burke and Wills.
Oh, totally.
Actually, I'm starting to see a few in Brisbane now, Trevor. It's quite amazing. But I know there's a charging station at the airport. Where next? Did you go Pacific Highway?
Yeah, we go down the Pacific.
Where do I stop next?
Macadamia Castle, you know, just past Byron.
Yes.
And there's some there. And then we stopped at Coffs Harbour, the Big Banana.
What, there's a charging station at the Big Banana?
Yeah, it's the worst one of all. It's at the top of the hill and there's only one of them, so it's a bit awkward. But it's still there. And then Port Macquarie, Heatherbrain in Newcastle, Goulburn, Gundagai.
What do we got, 300 Ks between fill-ups?
You could go 400 to 500, but, you know, you look at it and you go... So the thing about these cars and the truck will be they charge really quickly to 80%, but it's the last 20% that's quite challenging. So we're going to stop down the road here in about an hour and just charge it for 10 minutes and it'll get another about 50% of its charge back. And then you don't have to sit around for a whole hour waiting. So the more you stop, the better it is, but you don't have to stop for as long that way.
You've said truck. Now, this is what Marto is fascinated by.
Very excited. I saw the launch, but can you explain a little bit more? Because I was saying it can never jackknife because there's motors, there's electric motors in all of the wheels, or I think most of them. It'll never jackknife. It'll never roll because it's got a really low center of gravity because of the battery packs.
Yep.
What else have you got? What do you know about it?
The driver sits in the center. So the driver's seat is in the centre of the cabin.
Yeah, no one hitchhikes anymore. You don't need a spare seat.
No, there's two seats behind you, kind of like the seats in the cockpit of a plane. They're just sitting behind the driver. But the thing is there, I reckon they've done that so that it can be global, so that they don't have to make a left-hand and a right.
Oh, that's smart.
It'll drive about 870 kilometres per charge, and they're going to build what they call mega chargers, which will charge that battery in an hour. And you think about it, you're driving, an 8-hour stint. You stop once for a full charge up. But again, truckies aren't driving 8 hours non-stop. They're stopping for petrol. They're stopping for a feed. Yeah. You have mandatory stops. It'll fit in with that. The question is, and the other part of it is, they're also semi-autonomous, so that there can be one at the front driven, and the three trucks behind it can just be autonomously following the front one.
No, that's too weird. That freaks me out.
But I heard if the driver has a medical episode, it's like the Deadman's, if he hasn't responded for a while, it will never leave that lane. It'll never veer out of the lane it's currently in. Is that something else?
That's 100% possible. So in the car we're driving, the Model X, it's got their autopilot function. Yeah. You put that on and it drives itself. You can, not that we tested it, but let's say 90 seconds, you can take your hands off the wheel, no pedals, and it drives itself at the speed, follows the markings, and then what it does, like a dead man's handle, as you say, it wants you to take control again. It wants to know that you're there. You don't have to control it. You just got to touch the wheel to know that you're there. So if there was a medical incident in the semi, you would assume that because the truck is smart enough to know where the lanes are, yes, it would stay in the lane and just slow down.
So how much?
Yeah, how much?
You know what? The car we're driving is $211,000. And if you bought an Audi at this size and this quality, it'd be 60, 70, 80. So you're talking double. So it's going to be the same for the trucks. It's going to be two or three times more expensive. But the return is the cheaper charging. Even if it's not free, it's still, 30 cents instead of a dollar. Per hundred over time.
And it'll come down. As you know, Trev, the price of these things 100% always comes down over time. Okay, Trevor Long from EFTM.com.au. You can read more about it there inside the back of the Tesla. It's so quiet, Trev. Are you sure you're in it? You're not just standing in a cupboard somewhere pretending?
We pulled over because the road noise is quite
extreme. Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Trev. See ya.
Hi, Gary Megan here. If you know me, then you know that I love everything about food. And now I'm sharing that love with my podcast series, A Plate to Call Home. Listen now on Podcast One as I speak to fascinating people about the innovative things that they're doing in food and, of course, share their stories. If you're into food, you'll love my podcast, A Plate to Call Home. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Hey, can I talk about something? Robin, I came in from your end of town yesterday. I was out at Ipswich.
Western suburbs.
Out at Wacol. I came in along in towards where the Legacy Tunnel starts, all right?
The Western Freeway.
I cannot believe how many people peel off and keep going Milton Road and don't go through the tunnel. I guess maybe they didn't need to go where I go past the city, come out of the ICB and over to Newmarket where I live. The number of people not using the tunnel, if you're not, you're mad because it's a joy in there. So then
It's such a joy.
And then I get home and listen to one of the headlines on the news.
It's a scheme that promises to slash hundreds of dollars off car registration bills as long as the driver is prepared to use toll roads. Its proponents claim it's a surefire congestion buster.
Righto, let's pull Melissa Downs off Channel 9 down. And the thing is, New South Wales looking to introduce this. They're saying if you pay $25 a week, and that's nothing in terms of if you travel every day through over the gateway, etc., $25 a week, you can get yourself free rego.
That does seem like a good deal.
It gets people off.
That's Milton a great
road.
Deal.
It gets people off all these other roads, and it won't stop anything off the gateway.
Because it costs me $9 to get to the airport if I use both Legacy Way and the airport tunnel.
Once a week.
Great.
Well, they're saying there could be incrementals if you're only spending $10 a week. But we spoke to people this morning at 5:30, just asked a couple of questions, random people, spending up to $100 on tolls. Truckies are spending $12 every time they cross the gateway, from what we can gather.
Ed, don't you reckon there's a catch?
Would it work?
There has to be a catch, but it, just as a simple idea, to me it seems like you'd have to go for it. You'd have to go for it.
Even if they jack up the toll prices, I'm happy if that's how they got to do it to cover it.
Oh, I'm not sure about jacking up the toll prices.
It means that you don't value your life. It means that you don't put a great enough price on every minute of your day, which I do. If you've got enough time to go on the over road and go through lights, I probably saved 15 cents of lights yesterday going through the tunnel.
No, I know, but some people can't afford it. Like, you can't just say, like, $10 to get to the airport where I could
but
go
for
free.
But if I'm saying
free.
To you, you don't have to pay your $680 rego.
I still think there'll be something. There'll be little lines somewhere.
Let people who are out there on the roads a lot more than the three of us tell us, would it work? Is this a fair income idea?
Is this a good idea? Would you be willing to take it up if you use toll roads? What do you make of this new deal? Well, how much are you spending on tolls? Dean from Bracken Ridge. Dean,
g'day,
what did you want to say,
guys,
mate?
How are you?
Did you get your head around this?
Of course, the lovely Robin. Yeah.
Hello.
Did you get your head around this story, Dean? Would you be keen on this, getting credits towards your rego from your tolls?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Now, to go from Bracken Ridge to West End, I can go through two tolls. On an average, about $10 to $12 a day, 230 working days, is going to cost me $2,300 to go to work in the tunnels. So therefore, it's just throwing a little cookie at you
to
say, well, here's free rego, but I want you to now pay $2,300 a year instead of just your rego.
Well, how much is your rego, Dean? Do you know?
600. Well, my rego, 600 max.
Okay.
All right, but the thing is, if you were already using the tunnels, like I do all the time, you'd love it. It's just a free hit of 600.
You may, but how's that going to increase people by going through? Your argument is that you want more people to go through the tunnels. So how's it going to increase the people?
I'm going to say to you, every time you stop at the lights up above, if you're missing 12 sets of lights, every time you stop, you're saving $4 each way. That's $8 times 230. There's your $1,600. You save your rego. You're on even.
No, it saves me 7 minutes.
Okay.
To go through the tunnels. I've already done it.
Thanks, Dean.
And for some people, that's not a big deal. See, it seems to help the people that are already committed to tunnel use, which is not the point.
All right.
Corey
from Cleveland.
Corey,
what do you think of this deal?
I could spend up to $1,000 a month on tolls.
You do or you could?
I try to avoid it as much as I can, but I'm well over $700 a month now.
Yes.
And I'll tell you that my thoughts are, why, from a truck point of view, wouldn't it be better to give us free tolls, let us run through there, because the congestion that we make on local roads the wear and tear on the roads on local roads, like Sandgate Road or something like that, going down through there, if we're going straight through at 100 k's an hour or 80 k's an hour, how much fuel would we save? And how much wear and tear would we save on the local roads?
That's true.
By allowing us to go through there.
Just stay in that left lane of all the tunnels. That's a super idea.
I'd love the idea. And if you want to go into the city and those sorts of areas, then toll those people. Don't toll the people who want to pass through town.
That's the one. I agree. Toll people who want to come into the city.
They're starting to do that in some cities around the world. I think it's a little bit too early yet to work it out, but that is absolutely the idea. Is you have to pay a premium to go into the centre of town.
I hope Corey's running for election on Saturday.
Is it too late for Corey to start a political party? I quite like Corey.
Big, clear thinking man.
Reese of Logan Lee, tell us about your tolls. You're a truckie.
Yeah, I can spend upwards of like $100 a day in tolls. Like, for a truck to go
from
Toowoomba all the way over to the north side of Brisbane, it's over $50 each way. And I can do that up to three times a day.
But that's important because the moment you leave Toowoomba, you don't hit a traffic light until... Where do you hit a traffic light? Sunshine Coast? No. There's no traffic lights, which is a big thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, like, we paid 10 grand rego for a B-double.
Oh, is that what they are?
Yep. And by the end of the year, by the time you paid all your tolls, you're going to be paying triple.
Mm.
on top of it. So I reckon there should be a better subsidy for heavy vehicles and people who do use the tolls more often, like Sydney do. How now you can claim so much back on your tax with if you use the tolls every day.
Frequent flyer style. That's what about if I said you go in a bottle-o and get some cheap beer if using your toll points?
You know who we're not speaking of? Hey. We're not, the real losers in all of this are the backpackers that do those three-wheeled bikes around South Bank.
Oh, those stupid
you know, what about them? What about them?
Our callers have seen right through it. 80% saying that it's not going to work. Thank you for your calls on 133353. It's Marto, Ed and Robin. I'm Brisbane's Triple M.